Luke chapter 16. The message today is God's trusty friend. Two passages from Luke, one from John. Luke 16, verse 9. And I say unto you, make yourselves friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it shall fail, they may receive you into the eternal tabernacle. He that is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and he that is unrighteous in a very little is unrighteous also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now chapter 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a country, a far country, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants of his and gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, trade ye herewith, till I come. Verse 15. And it came to pass, when he was come back again, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants unto whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by trading. And the first came before him, saying, Lord, thy pound hath made 10 pounds more. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou wast found faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities, and so forth. And now John chapter 2. Verse 23. Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed on his name, beholding his signs which he did. But Jesus did not trust himself unto them, for that he knew all men, and because he needed not that anyone should bear witness concerning man. For he himself knew what was in man. Just a little assistance there on the play of the two words. Let me read it to you this way, and you'll see it more clearly. It says in verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many trusted in his name, beholding his signs which he did. But Jesus did not trust himself unto them. They trusted him. Jesus did not trust them. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thou hast given us another week. We thank you for all the blessings that have passed. We thank you. And for this day in which we have already begun to be obedient to you by remembering your Son and also preaching your word as your Son desired, we are thankful for this good start. May it continue, our God. We are glad for the lessons contained in thy word. Father, who would ever think of these things unless thy Son had them recorded for us? But we thank you for these lessons. the way that he makes us think about things that we would never think about, or that we would not want to think about, but they are brought to our attention. And we are glad that, as Paul said to Timothy, give attendance to reading. That is what we have done. We have read from thy word. Thou knowest how we treasure it. You have magnified your word above all your name, and your estimation of it is our estimation of it. So this morning, from the portions we have read, may they do good to our souls. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you promised. And our Father, what are lips speaking empty words unless empowered by thy Spirit? And who can get at the heart of a man unless thy Spirit works upon that heart? So this morning, by thy Spirit, do these things for us, we pray. We commit all into thy hands. Bless us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. God's trusty friend. I gave the message that name because one time in reading an old will, words like these were found in it. He said, "And I appoint as the executor of this will my trusty friend," and then a man was named. And we laughed at that. His trusty friend, and looking up that word, in Old English, it simply means my trustworthy friend. Think of that. Here is a man who had lived his whole life, and it was about time for him to die. He thought it was. Because it used to be that wills were written when a crisis arose. Quite often, the family would come in and the will would be dictated just before the man died. Or if he were gravely ill, the will would be written. So, this man, during his lifetime, had examined all of those that he was associated with, and he said, "I appoint as my executor my trusty friend." He had found a friend that was trustworthy. And he said, "After I die, I want him to do these things for me." That's very good. Tell me, when you die, do you know a trustworthy friend that will take care all the desires that you no longer have power to carry out? You say, "Well, I hope so. I remember before my mother died, she told me the kind of tombstone that she wanted, and she was trusting me to get that tombstone and put it on her grave next to my father's tombstone. They were to be alike, and they were to be next to one another." And I said, "Yes, Mother, I will do that." And if you come up to where she's buried, you will find the tombstone there. Thank God, I proved faithful, trustworthy in that area anyway. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you trusted Jesus? Does Jesus trust you? You say, "Does Jesus trust me?" Oh, yes. Because it says in John chapter 2, Jesus was performing his miracles, and many trusted in his name. And the next verse says, Jesus did not trust them. He did not commit himself unto them, but the words are the same. They trusted Jesus, but it said, Jesus did not trust them. Now, isn't that a sad commentary on the condition of some of the souls of God's children? All of us can boast, "I trust Jesus." That is unimportant. A man would be a fool if he did not trust Jesus. That's what I've been telling you in past weeks. Taking God at his word, we can trust Jesus. But, and Jesus cross by. Let me ask you, the thing that he has requested when he was dying, have you carried them out this past week? You say, well, some of them I might have forgotten, then Jesus is not able to trust you. And the scripture brings that to our attention. Jesus, when a man believes on him, looks into that man's soul and evaluates whether he is trustworthy or not. And I wonder what he thinks of me. Here are those at Jerusalem, and they had believed in the Lord Jesus, but evaluating them, he understood that they were not as yet trustworthy. There are some people you can't trust to do the simplest things. On occasion, the Lord said, I have to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey to fulfill the prophecy in Zechariah. He sent friends to go and get the donkey. Can you be trusted with something that simple? Where wilt thou that we go and make ready the Passover? Can you be trusted to do that? So there are some things that Jesus entrusts people to do that are elementary things. You say, anybody can go get a donkey? No. Anybody could prepare a room for a feast? No. You'll find that the Lord Jesus does not entrust these things to just anybody, but he looks into a man's soul and he says, this man can be trusted in this area. This sister can be trusted in this area. And sad to say, he looks into some of our souls and he is not able to trust us at all. Let me ask you this. You know many Christian friends. Would you trust them to some of the responsibilities that you want carried out? You say, no, I know that man. I know that woman. I like them. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But you can't depend on them. And that's how God looks upon us. And so that is why, having last week taught you about taking God at his word, this week I want to tell you about those that God takes at their word. And yet, they are so few, and they're difficult to find. In the Old Testament, God speaks about people that made vows, but God doesn't care for fools that make vows, make promises to God, and do not keep those vows. And in like manner, here we are that have committed our souls to the Lord, and he says, now, what are you going to do for me? Lord, I'll do anything you tell me. The Lord knows that this is not true, and he doesn't submit himself to us. Here was a man in Luke chapter 9. He came to the Lord full of enthusiasm and said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus did not say, I'm so glad to hear that. Come. The Savior said, the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He had looked into that man's soul and knew his limitations. He was ready to follow Jesus, and people were proclaiming him, acknowledging him, when Jesus was working his miracles. Oh, yes, I'll follow you anywhere you go. Well, will you follow me when there's no place to sleep, when there's nothing to eat? No, I don't think I will. Jesus knew that. He didn't trust that man. And another one said, I want to go and say farewell to my parents. The Lord Jesus knew that if that man went home to say farewell to his parents, that would be the end of it. He wouldn't come back again. So there are many people who offer themselves to the Lord, and the Lord says, I can't trust you. That is what is so sad. Now, later on in life he can. That is the only consolation. Here is John Mark. He started out with Paul and Barnabas, but when he comes to difficult terrain, when following Christ, when being in his service becomes difficult, he said, things are more comfortable back in Jerusalem. And he leaves Paul and Barnabas and returns home. You see, he couldn't be trusted. And Paul never trusted him until the latter part of his life. But then he became trustworthy. But some of us, our whole life long, we go along and we are undependable. And people know it. But thank God, whereas there was a time when Paul did not trust him, at the last he said, bring Mark with you. He's profitable to me or ministry. So thank God. The fact that we failed once in the past does not mean that we cannot repent and redeem ourselves and be a prophet in the future and be of use to the very man that looked at us and said, you are not worthy now to serve in the Lord. Later on, he said, bring Mark, he's profitable to me for ministry. But remember, so many people approached our Lord, and whenever they did, he knew whether they were true believers, he knew whether they were untrustworthy believers, he knew whether they were deceived in their own importance. He evaluated them when they came to him. When Cephas came to the Lord Jesus, Simon was his name at first. Jesus said, you are Simon. You shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, teacher. And then in Matthew 16, the prophecy concerning Simon was pronounced again when he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. And I say unto you, you are Peter. So remember, there is promise in some of us. And there is disappointment in some of us. And for so many years, we go along and we're undependable. And sad to say, some that you've known at an early stage of their life, they're the same at the last stage of their life. They have never changed. That's why the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says that we are to increase in love more and more. So that God saves us, there's no doubt that there is salvation. But what about your moral growth? What about your worth to the Church of Jesus Christ? This is what I prayed for, that the Lord not only would send us some to Goldsboro, not those that will be a drain on you, but those that will be pillars in the church, those that will be strong, that can contribute something, that can add rather than detract. And sad to say, most of the time, it says, bear one another's burden. But it also says you have to bear your own burden. So it would be good if God sent faithful men and if God sent spiritual men. Most of the time, here we are. We do the best we can with what we have. But Jesus is looking for faithful men. And what I told you, he was not able to say of these Christians in John 2 at the first. It may be true that later on in their lives, he was able to say those things of them. Because I entitled this message, God's Trustworthy Friends, later on in life, that's what he called them. He called them friends, and he entrusted all that he had to them. It says in John 15:15, he says, I'm not going to call you servants anymore. He said, from now on, I'm going to call you friends, because all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. Think of this. All the truth that he had heard from his Father, he entrusted to them, and he said, I'm calling you my friends. I am your friend, and you are my friend, and I can confide in you. Now that is a rare thing if you can find a Christian friend in whom you can confide. The Bible says, confess your faults, your sins one to another. I tell you the truth. There are few Christians I would tell intimate secrets to because they have not discernment and they would go and say, I was told by Brother Mills about this secret besetting sin in his life, and I want you to pray for that sin. Oh, that secret besetting sin. And so, don't you want to tell people all about these secret besetting sins in your life? Intimate things? You say, no, I couldn't do it. And that's the reason that Jesus doesn't tell you things. He can't trust you. The Bible says, Jesus, and that's the first thing that he's looking for, he is looking for believers to whom he can entrust himself. It says Jesus did not entrust himself to them. He didn't believe in them with himself because he knew what was in man. He didn't need anybody to testify to him. That's what's so remarkable. The way that God, when his son was on earth, let him know everything about man. When a man came to him, he would know whether the man had prospects for the future that were good, or he knew if that man came and he was a false follower of Christ. That's what he said about Judas. We didn't know it until John chapter 6. But Jesus said, have I not chosen you the 12, and one of you is a devil? The Lord Jesus knew then. It said he knew the ones who believed on him and the ones who believed not. And so when Judas came and pretended to be a devout follower of the Lord knew everything about Judas. And at the same time, when Nathanael came to the Lord Jesus, he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, whence knowest thou me? And the Lord Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. You see? Jesus said, here is an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. And those in John 2 were believers, and yet the Lord Jesus said, I cannot entrust myself to you. Now, I'm wondering, why is it that there is not genuine love for the Lord Jesus? Why is it that the bosom of the Lord Jesus is not laid upon by you as it was by John, the beloved apostle? Because he can't entrust himself to you. You see, love so often is grieved. Because if there is disappointment in one that you have loved, that says he loves you so much, and then there are failures, there are disappointments. And it says Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Now, it may have been that the other disciples were trustworthy in certain areas, but they were not trustworthy in the sense of reclining their heads upon Jesus' bosom. That love and that intimacy that John had with the Lord Jesus was not the privilege of others. Now, service and zeal, that was Peter's, yes. But the Lord Jesus knew the ones that could love him. And I've heard so many people talk about, oh Lord, we love you. I wonder if Jesus would let you place your head upon his bosom. There are those who say so much that they love Jesus. In fact, the disciple that Jesus loved, you don't read about his saying, Jesus, I love you. But in John 21, that failing disciple, Peter, who had denied our Savior, the Lord Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you see? I don't want Jesus to ask me those questions. Tell me, are you trustworthy? Have you done what I told you to do last week? You came and you said that you love me. Tell me, do you love me? How much is your love for me? There are questions I'm glad that the Lord is not here to ask me. But remember, he asked Peter those questions. And Peter had to answer those questions again and again and again. And I know that we wouldn't like it because Peter didn't like it. The Lord said to him the first time, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, will you feed my lamb? He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. He said, take care of my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? It said Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, then you take care of my sheep. So, here is the Lord that asked him three times about that love. And Peter, who thought his love was so large for the Savior, he found out that it was ever so small. But it was not so small that it was not discoverable by the Lord. He knew all things. And so I can say to the Lord, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And so if you ask me, do I love the Lord? I have to tell you yes. Do not ask me how much I love the Lord. But every true believer has to love the Lord. Because it says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus, let him be accursed, let him be anathema. Yes, Lord. But if the Lord said, you love me more than these? I would say, no, Lord. I would say, you know I love you. Peter didn't say, I love you more than these. He said, I love you, Lord. So, there are some that the Savior cannot entrust himself to. But John was one that he could entrust himself to. So there are some that have a more intimate fellowship with the Lord than others. Peter was an apostle as much as John was an apostle. But he could not say that he loved the Lord more than all the others. He could say, you know that I love you. And so if this is so, let us seek to be those that God finds faithful enough to entrust the love of his Son to our hearts. That would be the greatest thing. I know this, that it is so difficult to live as a Christian down here. And that is why it says, little children, love one another. Because if love is missing, it's almost impossible to live for the Lord. But if you know the Lord loves you, and if you love him, then you can get by without much love from Christians. But if your love for the Lord is little, and then your love for the people of God is little, then inevitably there will be failure and stumbling along the way. And so it says, the Lord looked upon these believers in John 2, and it said he did not entrust himself to them. They trusted him, but he didn't entrust himself to them. Why? Because he knew all men. He looked at each man's heart when they trusted him as Savior. And he said to Judas, you've never trusted me. He said to another man, you are not mature enough. You are not dependable enough for me to put my trust in you. And so here you are. You trust Christ this morning. How much dependency can Christ put in you? So remember, first of all, he does not entrust himself, save to a precious few, because few of us are worthy of trust with the love of the Lord Jesus. He loves me. Fine. Good. He loved me and gave himself for me. But he says, do you love me? And we have to say, you know all things. You know that I love you. All right. It says this. I read to you a portion in Luke chapter 16. It speaks about the unrighteous mammon. It says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your care true riches? The Lord is saying, what do you do with your money? Can he trust you with mammon of unrighteousness? You say, I can be trusted with my money. I wonder. The Lord said to the Israelites in the Old Testament, now, you are to let the land lie fallow every 7 years. They never gave God that 7 years. And God said, you have to give me a tenth of everything that you get. God knows how many of them, as Ananias and Sapphira, pretended to give to God, but held back on God. And so the Lord said, if you can't be trusted with the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your care true riches? And this is what is so sad. I've seen those for whom Christ gave all, and they are absolutely shameful when it comes to what they withhold from God. I've known them. I shan't mention names, but I've known them. And I remember being with a brother that had abundance of money, and we went to visit in another assembly, and when the basket went by, I put a portion in that basket. He put absolutely nothing. And I asked him afterwards, I said, you put nothing in that meeting? No. I said, did you eat there? Yes. Did you enjoy that hospitality? Did you stay in their homes and so forth? Yes. And you put nothing in? No. And he never intended to. I know another Christian I was talking to. And as I talked to him, he said, I'm not going to give money. God doesn't expect me to give him anything. He said he expects those that are rich to give. I'm not to give him anything. Do you understand? That Christian will never amount to anything. These two that I'm thinking of, they've never amounted to anything because they could not be entrusted with the unrighteous mammon. The material things that God gave, they could not be entrusted to give God back his portion. And the Lord says that. It says, now, if you can't be trusted with the unrighteous mammon, who's going to commit to your trust true riches? And yet they say, I want you to give me this responsibility. I want God to reveal all these secrets to me. The Lord says, if you can't be trusted with these mundane things, you can't be trusted with spiritual, precious things. He said, I'm not going to do it. Now, I just mentioned that because some people can be trusted with material things and some can't. Some immediately can be trusted with material things. Zacchaeus, that had been a covetous man, as soon as he trusted Christ as Savior, he said, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've wrongfully exacted aught from any man, I restore fourfold. Thank God, here is one that could be trusted with the unrighteous mammon. Before he could not be trusted, but now he could. And so remember that. You say, God doesn't care about these mundane things. He said, I don't. I'm not going to entrust true riches to you if I can't trust you with material things. Now, here is Lydia. It says in Acts 16 that after she had trusted the Lord and been baptized in her household, she turned to Paul and Luke and all his followers and she said, if you have counted me faithful in the Lord, come and stay at my home. And she constrained them and they came and stayed at her home. Thank God. Here is a woman that is prepared to open her home to show hospitality, not to one man for a meal, and some never do that. That's what's so remarkable. I've been to some meetings in different places for years, and they have never invited me into their homes. And some have wanted, others have vied for one another. Let him come to my home, let him come to my home. Some will never show hospitality, and this is criminal. And yet Lydia said, if you counted me faithful, give me the great honor. Come to my home. And Paul and Luke and Silas, think of that. All of these servants of God shown hospitality in her home. Why? Because she had proved faithful. Thank God. The things that we can be faithful in, and God says, if you're faithful in these things, then you'll get true riches committed unto you. I must tell you this. It says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? You realize that right now, what you're using is not your own. It says in 1 Chronicles 29, it says, for all things come of thee. All things are of thee. And of thine own have we given. You say, I give to God. God's word says, yes. And the things that you give to God of thine own have we given. But God does this. All things are his, and he says, here, I'm giving it to you. And in Acts 5, God accounts it as being ours. But notice, it came from God. All things come from God. And God says, if you cannot be trusted with that which is another's, then who will commit to your care that which is your own? You know the only time you're going to get something that belongs to you? The home, the wealth that you have now. When you die, how much of it are you going to take to heaven and say, all this is mine, not one penny, it's not yours. But I read you in Luke chapter 19, the man that was faithful down here, the Savior said, well done, good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful in a little, now have authority over 10 cities. You know that once you get those cities in the world to come, they will never be taken away from you. They are your own. Nothing you have here is your own. But what you've done and God rewards you for in the future, that shall be your own. And so we had better be trustworthy. You've trusted Jesus as Jesus trusted us. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, forgive us. Having found Thee so dependable, You can be taken at Your word. Forgive us, Father, for being able to trust Jesus and all that He is. They trusted in His name, because everything that His name represented, it turned out to be true, and we could trust Him. Forgive us, Father, that Thy Son has not been able to trust us with material things, with hospitality, with love. So many areas, our Father, that Jesus is yet, having been trusted, cannot trust us. But we're glad that later on we can grow and our love can improve, and then He can trust us. So in that coming day, let us not be paupers. Let us not stand at the judgment seat of Christ in the midst of ashes, but let us have something of abiding worth, and then we can say, this is mine forever. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.